That's what I call back home music.
Yes.
Some of y'all have been back home.
We are studying through the New Testament. We have gotten to the book of Philippians. And in the last chapter, the fourth chapter of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing this group. I guess I could do this, couldn't I, since you got those earphones on. The Apostle Paul is writing a group of Christians, sort of pep talk. Sort of a pep talk. Got it now? Working better? Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Lord, help us be solid. Let us live in houses built upon the stone and upon the rock. Not just the physical houses, but the house of our life and our spirit and our soul. That they don't just come and go with the ways of the world. We're strong in it. Bless us, Father, as you continue to do, I pray. Watch over us. We're thankful that the weather has been spared to us this time, and pray for those who it has attacked and has affected. Bless them getting their lives back together. For those who are in surgery, recovering from surgery, recovering from ailments, give them strength. Help them to be strong and recover. Deeds of the doctors, the nurses, and all the technicians and therapists will be good. Father, we pray that we can spread the gospel. How we not only work and love and sing in here, but how we take it with us everywhere we go. So meet our individual needs as your will. Be with our men and women in foreign fields and mission fields and in the military, and our first responders and all who serve you. Protect us and pray in Christ's name that you'll be with the speaker. And amen. Have you ever met a person that could take at least 15 minutes to tell you a 30-second story? They just add on and add on, and they never met an adjective or an adverb they did not like. And before long, you're saying, get it over with. I forgot what we started with. You know, it's one of those. Paul was not that way. There are very few words in Paul's writing that could be taken out and not change the context of that message. Well, it's like the Lord's Prayer. You look at all those words in the Lord's Prayer, there's only one adjective, adverb in the entire thing. It's the word daily. That's in there on purpose. Everything else serves a purpose for that. Paul says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in his way, dear friends. Paul considered all Christians his brothers and sisters. Now, maybe not physically, quite honestly, because Paul was a Middle Eastern Jew. He would have looked different than the people from Rome, or the people from Greece, or those from Asia. He physically did not apply as a physical brother and sister, but yet, in the spirit, relationship through Jesus Christ, with the same God the Father, we are considered brothers and sisters. In the time of the ancients, when you were adopted into the family, you are an equal part of that family. And today, with the adoption program we have. And I love what Mr. Thomas is doing, Dave Thomas of Wendy's. I wish the Frosties were free. No, I probably don't, because they're just too good. And they need the little bitty cups. That's all I need. But Mr. Thomas, adoption is important here. And it makes you part of the family. You're an equal part of the family. When we are adopted into Abraham's family, when we are adopted, as the song from Bill and Gloria, to the family of God, it is equal. And it doesn't matter what part of the country, north, south, east, or west. I can understand the south a little better than the rest of them, but still, it doesn't matter what part you're from, what you do for a living, what your background is, what your education is, what your gender is. It doesn't matter. When we belong to Jesus, we are part of his family and get the same, exact same responsibilities and privileges as anyone else, whether you have Hebrew blood in you or not. And that means that we need to bear the family responsibility. Now, I know sitting here, and the sign says 87. I know within the 87 people in here today, there's probably 90 or 95 different experiences you had growing up. Some of you came from a big old family. You know, they started with ABC, and they get back around to double X and double Y to get all the names of the kids in. But some of you came from a family where you were the only child, and you were the pampered one. And if you came from a big family, you probably wished you came from a small family because you get more attention. And if you came from a small family, you probably wished you came from a big family so it wouldn't all be upon you. But we don't have those choices. But we're still part of a family engrafted with God. And when we understand that, our relationship with others should be good. That's why we have these dinners on the second Sunday of each month. So you can sit down and talk to people that you don't get a chance to in here. Up here we have a time of fellowship and shaking hands and patting on the back and how you doing. About that time you go to somebody else. In there you got 30, 45 minutes or so. You can get to learn somebody. Now one of these days, I'm going to declare sit with somebody else day. I don't have the nerve to do it yet because I like my job. But if you've noticed, I try to sit with a different group every Sunday. And Becky and I do not eat together. I know everything she's going to say. I've already heard that before. At least once. And she's already heard me more than once. So we spread out and we come back and share. So and so did this. This one happened there. And I think that is good. That family is important. The problem is, I hate to admit this. I'm going to tell you something most of you have not heard before. I have a psychology degree. And from the time I went to college and graduated in 73 till today, I've seen so much changes in people. Boy, at one time, the family was so strong and powerful, and it was important that we came together and served each other. Okay. It was reported yesterday that a candidate for president, the wind's getting me, that a candidate for president made a statement that abortion is just fine according to the Bible because, oh, wait till you hear the rest of it, because the Bible doesn't consider life until breath is breathed, so they breathe the breath. Now, I've heard of proof texting, I've heard of obliteration of the Bible. This counts. Job talks about it. Judges talks about it. Psalm talks about it. Even the book of Luke talks about it. That God created us in our mother's womb. Even said David said that God knew me while I was in mother's womb and shaped me. Now, I don't think that would have been that important if God hadn't mentioned it. And it was important because God mentioned it. So for somebody to flippantly say, well, until that baby's breathed, it's not a human being. It's okay to kill them. But then you go to New York and you go to Virginia, and they want to pull babies out and kill them on the spot. And some places are actually saying, well, you got 6 months to decide whether you want to keep it or not. There was judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah when they started making their own rules contrary to God. I hate to think what God is going to think about a generation that has obliterated the truth that's in the Scriptures. And that's why we as Christians have to come together and stand firm. These little plastic things, I just didn't go buy them because they were cute. And I for sure didn't go buy them because we needed them at the house. That was 44 years ago. This is what they're for. Now, if you want to fill them with checks or dollar bills, that's fine too. But we give them to the group down in Port Charlotte that helps women decide not to have abortions and kill their babies and support them. We have people volunteering with them because the family is important. My brothers and sisters to whom I love, we should love one another. My joy and my crown stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. My best friends have always been from the church. Still are. this group and the different groups we have served, we have friends we still can to still work with and know with and visit them. I plead with Eudoria and with Sacria to be the same mind in the Lord. These are two women that have been working and serving Him. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. Wouldn't it be nice to have on your tombstone, worked for Jesus? Loved people and worked for Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of things you can say, but that's a great accomplishment, and they did that. Along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are found in the Book of Life. That's the best book ever going to be written. I mean, you can read Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey. You can read Canterbury. Well, don't read Canterbury Tales. That's a nasty book. You can read all type of books that are written. But when we get to the Lamb's Book of Life, that's what really counts. That's the one that Jesus says, they belong to me, God. They're mine, Father. I'm going to protect them, Father. I'm going to welcome them home, Father, because they stood before the crowd one day and announced me as their Savior. And were buried in the water of baptism because they wanted me to be their Savior and to have their sins washed away. So that's a strife. Now, there are all kind of books out there. Who's Who This and That and honorary things and dedicated books and give so much money, you get your name in this and that and writing a plaque on the wall. In the bottom line, on that judgment day, that's the only one that counts, the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's another song that we grew up singing. He's singing it around. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. We should be a happy people. Not just the day that the hurricane turns north and goes somewhere else or goes back out the water or just fizzles out. Not just that day. We should be happy always. Think of the gifts that we have. I'm not just talking about the money, the clothes, the house, the lifestyle. I'm talking about hope. Hope. There are people who have no hope. When the choppers and the Coast Guard cutters began picking up people that they could find alive, some of them they had to physically carry out of there. There weren't any suitcases, no trophies, not even a bowling trophy. No golf clubs were allowed on, just their own lives, and they were happy to get out of there. A time may come when they get a little bit uppity and say, well, why didn't you bring this or why couldn't we have that? Well, I suspect that day that that hurricane came over and set and set and set, that day that I'd give $10 had a picture of Colin tied to a tree fighting a cat for it. That just, beyond my comprehension, that's better than a game of Cowboys and Indians. Colin's got something to say about that. Ain't no fighting, huh? I think there's no pictures of it either. But we need to realize how blessed we are and be happy about it. Do not be anxious about anything. Any of y'all nervous about something? Does it work? No. We can fret and fret and fret all we want. We don't get anywhere. What else does he say? But in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all other understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're not going to get everything we want. We're not going to get everything we prayed for. July the 2nd, 2004. My nephew, my brother's son, and Becky's sister's son, they had a son together. It was in a little cheap record store when a guy walked in, robbed him with $38 and shot him in the back of the head. Laid in the hospital, University Hospital, for about 48 hours. There was a lot of prayers for his life to be spared. Which was also thoughts of, God, your will's got to be done. Does that mean that you turn away because he died and we didn't get what we wanted? Or does that make you stronger to know that he was a child of God? He had a place to go when he left here, when his soul left here. That's the kind of commitment and contentment. I like that word better. That's the type of contentment that we should gather up and hope in our lives. Oh, this world sounds terrible. If you watch the nightly news or listen to the radio news or read the newspapers, or I'm going to speak of something I do not understand. If you're a blogger or a blogette and you read bloggies, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Those of you laughing, those of you not, don't have it. Doesn't matter either way. You think it's a terrible place to live. This is bad and that's bad. They won't let somebody join this club, and this football player kneels, and that football player calls his boss a cracker, and he loses his contract, gets $9 million the next day. Sounds like a terrible world, doesn't it? The problem is, we don't know when we've got it made. Because I will promise you, there's a lot of people in this world who will be glad to have the physical things we have, but that's not the important thing anyway. Because we've got something as children of God that no one has. The peace that passes all understanding. To know that even though things don't go our way, it's got to go His way. And when we have that, we should be excited and full of joy. And may the peace of God be with you. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is notable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In psychology class, they'd say you can control people's minds by what you do. And the first thing the professor would say is, do not think banana. Nobody here thinks banana. And he'd be quiet about 3 or 4 minutes. Anybody think banana? Well, everybody thought banana. He told you to think banana, even though he told you not to think banana. I had a PhD in psychology tell us that they decided as graduate students they were going to control the classroom. And every time the professor got close, they looked distracted, they looked through the books, they looked down, they didn't play their cell phones, they didn't have cell phones back then. But as he moved back farther and farther away, they would pay more attention. He ended up teaching the whole semester standing in the very corner, up on a stool, because that's as far away as he could get. They controlled him by controlling his mind. Satan wants to control our minds. He is our enemy. He wants to put fear and doubt and lust and anger in our minds. And we've got to say, can't do it. Not going to let it happen. Because what we know, Mr. Satan, is greater than what you've promised. Did he not tempt Jesus? Have you been tempted? The little prayer we have in the morning, lead us not in temptation. Jesus was tempted 3 times by the devil himself. Have power, have food, have control. Get behind me, Satan. Stand behind me, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. That's what Jesus said, and that's what we've got to say as well. And no matter how good it sounds at the time, no matter who all else is doing it, don't give in. That's what Paul is saying. And why? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about it. Let's replace evil with the good thoughts. Crowd it out. Take control. Now, there's probably very few of you who've not had a tough time in your life at least once. Car accident, a broken bone, loss of a loved one, whatever it is. Does it consume you and control you? If it does, the devil's winning. If you put it aside and replace it with something positive, even if you're going out and helping someone, that's good. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen of me, put it into practice. James said, be ye not hearers of the word, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. A lot of people quote the scripture, Satan quotes the scripture, Jesus, but he wouldn't put it to work. We've got to put it to work. And the God of peace will be with us. I rejoice greatly in the Lord, he says, that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned but had no opportunity to show it. Paul lived off the money that was sent to the churches. A lot of churches were too poor at first. They were going against the government. They were going against the Jewish religion. They were going against what was popular in the area. And Paul needed that money to support those churches and those people who had given up what they had lived on before. He said, your concern for me shows that. They've sent money to help Paul in the ministry. You have an opportunity. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. Would that not be something to say in our own lives? I am content to live whatever the circumstances. If the meal of the day is grits and spam, just like it anyway. Yeah, I love it. If it's catching a fish and eating it, whatever it is, whatever your life is that day, enjoy that day. Some of us in here have arthritis, that old friend, or brother bursitis, or their mother's situs family members. But I bet you there's a lot of people who can't walk that would trade it for that. Poor eyesight. Mine's getting worse and worse. I got them Cadillacs going on. But at least I can see. The glasses just keep thicker and heavier. There's a lot of things we can find to complain about, but do we accept it or just go on? That's the way it's got to be. Be happy in the condition we're in and try to do better. I'm not saying it's because I'm in need. I know what it is to be in need. We all know what it is to be in need. If you were here during Charlie or Wilma or Irma last year, you know, 2 years ago, you know what it is to be in need. When water went from 10 cents a bottle to a dollar a bottle to more than that, you know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Wednesday, Tuesday. Tuesday is our daughter-in-law's 41st birthday. So for every birthday, we take her and the twins and my son out to a Japanese restaurant. The fire comes up, you know, and then the burning onion and all that kind of stuff. We all ordered what we thought was a small portion. They took three boxes home. Kids will be eating Japanese the rest of the week. And that's okay, because that was what plenty was, and we enjoyed the plenty. Some of y'all had a full meal of Vienna sausages and crackers at one time or another. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through Him who gives me strength. Paul saw it all. Most of us have seen it all. Are we content? But knowing we're doing the best at the time that we can. We may not be the ideal. I got to sit down for this one because I can't believe in anyone. There's going to be a new show coming on this summer, this fall. You're going to love it. The Brady Bunch is coming back together. And they're going to build a house together. The Brady Bunch. Can you believe that? I ain't got more to say about that. Living in plenty and want. Are you satisfied with what you are? If you can't, then fix it. If not, then accept it. That's what he said. I can do it. But verse 13 may be the key verse of the whole chapter. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Through Jesus Christ. The world has some tough times. Not always going to be what we want. Weather not always. We may be abandoned by family. We may be let off a job. Whatever it is. Times can be tough. We'll struggle through the tough times. Because we're anticipating the better times. And I go back to the page in front of me. What's a better time? Whose names are in the book of life. Was that kind of a promise? What can be any better? Oh, yet it was good for you to share my troubles. Furthermore, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, I was sent out actually from Macedonia, which is in Greece. Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. He remembered what they had done to me kindness. That's why we give to missionaries. That's why we give to people in need. Sharing kindness and love. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me more aid than once when I was in need. A little extra. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that you be credited more to your account. Now that's a discussion we had in Sunday school this morning. Does God reward us for what we do? If so, are we buying God's attention? Paul says, no, we're not buying God's attention. He said, when God knows that a cheerful giver, one who's given out of, not obligation, but out of love and concern, shall be rewarded by God. Once again, what does it say? Now that I desire your gifts, I'll desire to be credited to your account. Back to the Lamb's Book of Life again. God knows what we're doing and why. I have received full payment and even more than enough. I am amply supplied. And now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. See, when you give to God's people, you're giving to God. We help God's people, we're helping God. The tremendously great Christmas, Easter song, it's a Christmas song too. Mary, did you know? And the line goes, you love that one, don't you? That's a Kentucky song, you know that. And one of the things, did I know when I touched your face, I'm touching the face of God. Let us realize when we help someone out, we pat them on the back, we give them a good Christian hug or a handshake, we're doing the same to Jesus. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory, Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's not be afraid to return thanks to those who gave us so much. Your mother probably taught you when you were a child. I don't know if they do anymore, but it's when you were a child. Somebody gives you a gift, you write a thank you card. Do we ever think about a thank you card or a verse or a prayer or a word to God for what all He's done for us? Or even the salvation that Christ gave us? He goes on in the last, the wind up. Greet all people. Greet all of God's people in Christ Jesus. There's no room for discrimination in the church. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All of God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. And grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be in your spirit, and amen. A extremely positive chapter that not only chastises evil, but rewards and blesses good. Let us go here today. Let us go out today knowing of the positiveness that Christ has done for us through His death, burial, and sacrifice, and rising again.